WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives. One moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
With me now is singer and fiddler Michael Doucet. He's both a performer and folklorist of Cajun music, the musical idiom of French Louisiana. He's the founder of the Cajun band Beau Soleil, one of several groups leading a revival of the music. Cajun music is a hybrid that formed when the French Acadians were exiled by the British from Nova Scotia in the mid-1700s and settled in Louisiana, where traditional French music fused with music indigenous to the Gulf region. Doucet grew up in the Bayou country where he still lives. As a folklorist, Doucet is working to keep alive the musical traditions of French Louisiana, but at the same time, his own Cajun music is influenced by the rock, rhythm and blues, and jazz music that he loves. I think you'll be able to hear all that in this recording from Beau Soleil's new album, Bayou Boogie.
Madame Bozo, qui est mon pas, elle a une blonde, elle a une
That's the band Beausoleil from their new album Bayou Boogie. My guest is Michael Doucet, the founder of the band. He was featured on fiddle and vocals. That sounded great, Michael Doucet. It's a pleasure to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
Can I ask you to give a real little crash course on the history of Cajun music for our listeners?
Okay, let me use this again. When people say Cajun music, okay, it's okay for me, but it's like two Comanche chiefs calling each other Injuns, you know? we're Acadian. I come from Acadian lineage, and the Acadians left France, the western part of France, what we call Poitou, they're from La Rochelle, and they moved to what they call Acadie, the first democratic society in the New World, founded in 1603. 4 years before that. What was that town? Jamestown that we used to read about? So anyway, so they stayed there for 150 years, and they refused to take an oath to relinquish their French language and relinquish their religion to the English crown. So this Governor Lawrence decided, well, let's get rid of these people. And so they did, the whole plight of the Evangelin, et cetera. They separated families, et cetera, and putting the Acadians, there must have been 20,000 strong, about 10,000 made the trip. And he says, well, did they do just like Longfellow said, went down the Mississippi? No, they didn't. A lot of them went back to France, to England. Some went down even as far as the Falkland Islands. My family, which is on one side Doucet, the other side LeBlanc, went back to France and then found their way to Louisiana about 10 years later. And when they got to Louisiana, it was Spanish. It wasn't French, what they thought. So you're talking about New Orleans. And so they moved south to an area, sort of the alluvial plain of the Mississippi. The Mississippi kind of branches off around in North Louisiana and becomes the Atchafalaya River, which is an Indian name for snake, by the way, and it forms the basin. It's like our delta, and that's where the bayous are formed, and that's where they moved. They were expelled in 1755. They got there 1655. They've been there ever since.
Did you hear a lot of what we now call Cajun music when you were growing up?
Yes, I mean, but it was something that it was like hearing Christmas carols to you. It was something that was just you did
it's just
this,
there.
Yeah. You know, every Christmas you would sing Christmas carols. Well, for us, when we got together, we would all sing French songs. I mean, and there were always musicians around. Now, what kind of songs? He said, "Well, I had an uncle who played fiddle, and he would play the three songs I learned. I think were Jolie Blonde, Alonzo Lafayette, and St. Louis Blues. I thought that was a Cajun song. I didn't know the name of it, but my dad had a couple of five sisters who sang ballads." So we'd get these old-time French songs from us. My mom had classical training, so they'd play jazz. So we'd get together at crawfish balls, and we'd have everybody together. So I don't know what kind of music I heard, if I remember right.
Was it your music, or was it music of the parents and the grandparents?
Yeah, it was their music, but we'd all join in. I mean, you know, I remember learning, you say, you know, French. How did I learn how to speak French? Well, at a bourrée game, because my folks used to play bourrée. It's a certain kind of card game, and everybody around playing were speaking French. So they said, I wanted to learn how to play. I said, well, if you don't learn how to play, you have to learn how to speak French. So, but the music was just around. I don't know. And from our parish, and we have parishes in Louisiana, and from our parish, we knew the musicians, and they played a particular style. But you go out of that parish, or you go out of that county, it was completely different music, same French maybe, but a different song or so.
Didn't you play rock music before getting back to Cajun music?
Yeah, well, I started off with, I really wanted a banjo when I was six. I don't know why, but I wanted a banjo, and I got one when I was six. And I played Elvis Presley songs. He was the first guy, you know, I ever liked to hear from that was singing in English. And from there, I played trumpet, et cetera. And my sister, who was 4 years older than I, was aware of what was going on as far as the change in the country and the folk revival, et cetera, like that. So it was, I played guitar, and we played Bob Dylan songs and, you know, New Lost Silly Rambler songs all at the same time. But then after a while, it kind of filtered away. And what was going on in Cajun music at that time was sort of a hybrid of rock and roll, but also country and western. If you went to bars, and the music that I really liked was music we call back porch music, was mostly of traditional sort. You go to bars and they were singing Honky Tonk Angels in French, and it wasn't exactly what I wanted to hear or play.
What got you serious about being
serious? So okay.
Well, I'll see if I can find a better word. What got you into being like a folklorist of and a performer of Cajun music?
Well, you know what happened? We never considered this thing even academically, and because it was music was just of us, it was of a family, of a certain area. Well, I went to school at LSU University, where we call it Hellishu. And I took a folklore course, and the teacher was a very good teacher, and it was called Anglo-American Folk Song. I said, well, okay, this is good. So are we going to study French music? And he says, no, you mean Cajun music? That's only translated English songs. I said, no, it's not. You know? And he said, of course it is. And so that was my paper to prove this guy wrong, which I did, and we're really good friends to this day. But amazingly, at LSU, Harry Oster had done research on it. Irene Whitfield Holmes, who is still alive today, wrote her thesis in 1933 on Acadian Creole songs. So from that, it went to sort of an academic survey. But at the same time, just for no reason, I mean, there was no way out of Louisiana playing music or anything. There was not that consideration. What really happened is after I graduated in 73, a friend and I were playing at a little bar in Louisiana, and just two of us, and we were in that French militant mood where we're just playing in French and talking, speaking French. This man comes in and he listens to us very intently, has a tape recorder, all this stuff, and he says, would you like to come to France to play this music? Oh, yeah, sure, we'll go tomorrow. Well, he called back, and we went. We were supposed to stay for 2 weeks. We stayed for 6 months. What was going on in France, where they were having their folk sort of revival, and he termed us as being the newest form of creative French folk song in France. And we said, man, this is something we never even thought about this. And also, they were very aware about Cajun music, as you say, and also their roots. And so it really got me involved. I had sort of a vendetta to come back and to learn as much as I could about the music. Because even though I was playing it, I was playing just for one little area, and it was so vast.
Did you find older musicians to apprentice? Yeah.
Oh, of course. And before that and after that, one of the greatest musicians that I found and is a good friend of mine is Dennis McGee, who is 94 years old. He came with us to New York just last year. It was his first trip. He didn't want to miss it. And from Dennis, we have that style. We're talking about what happened when they got to Louisiana before that. Well, the accordion, the diatonic accordion or melodeon, is now really associated with Cajun music, but it's not. It's an outside instrument. The original Cajun instruments were obviously the voice and the fiddles. There was two styles of playing it. That's what Dennis plays. Dennis McGee plays a style of the 19th century music going into the 20th century. He plays a melodic line on the top strings and more of a bass percussive line on the bottom strings, and it's a very lilting kind of music. He talks about Napoleon. He talks about, you know, reels, different things like that. What happened after the 1900 was that the accordion was introduced, which is an Austrian instrument. The accordion is a much more conducive to Louisiana temperature than fiddles, which are just made out of wood and glue, and accordions are much louder. So when the first ethnic race recordings were made in 1928, Joe Falcon played accordion, which just blasted out the speaker. So that became the fixture of Cajun music.
What did the older guys think of a young musician like you wanting to study with them?
Well, you know, and there was another man by the name of Varese Connor, and he posed that question. You know, I went up to him because most of the time, you know, you stay where you are in Louisiana, I mean, unless you know you have some friends. But when you go out looking for music, it's kind of odd. And he turned to me, why are you interested in this music? I said, because I love it. I said, and you're one of the best musicians that ever were. And he said, how did you hear about me? Well, I said, well, this person heard you in 1933. And he was just amazed. I mean, and we became friends more than just acquaintances on the music. And I think it helped everybody. I try to get the older musicians out to play more and to be more noticed as far as so they can show their contributions, because it's just invaluable. Because what our kind of music, it's not set. It's not written down. It's from the heart and it's from the individual. And when the individual dies, and that music dies.
Did you have to learn a different kind of fiddling style?
Oh, yeah. I had to completely revise my whole thinking when I got to Dennis, because his style was so different. And the notes he used, because in the accordion, like I said, it was a diatonic, so it's basically in one or two keys. But Dennis would play a lot of different keys. Also, when I learned from a black fiddler by the name of Canray Fontenot, he's a genius. I mean, he played from Canray. Yeah, we could learn feel hollers, a lot of the Caribbean influence that he has, and just his slides and the blues that he would play. And from every fiddle player, I've learned something and hopefully given something back, because we always have a lot of fun playing together.
My guest is Michael Doucet, and we're talking about Cajun music. He's the founder of a Cajun band called Beau Soleil. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back. This is Fresh Air. Michael Doucet is my guest. He's both a folklorist and a performer of Cajun music from French Louisiana. He's the leader of the band Beau Soleil, and they have a new album out, by the way, called Bayou Boogie. Well, we're talking about you apprenticing older musicians. You mentioned the field hollers that you learned to sing. I want to play something where your singing is just really wonderful on it. But before we hear it, tell us a little bit about the kind of singing that you do. It strikes me as being kind of high-pitched, almost a little nasal, and there's wonderful hollers in it.
Yeah, well, in Cajun music or French music, the way we sing, I mean, I can sing ballads and have a very natural voice, sort of like I'm singing now. But when you're singing a song about a love lost or whatever, or in a sort of a fever, you have to get it out and you have to give everything you have. And so that's why it comes out. I mean, I sing bass and I'm singing tenor on these songs. So that's sort of why you hear that thing. But I mean, we just try to hit the right notes, you know.
We're going to play Cordon Bleu. Did I say that okay?
You said that fine.
This is the band Beau Soleil. Do you want to say something about the history of this song?
Well, this song is about, I introduced this song as, this is a song about going to the woods and boiling crabs. So that's what it's about. It's sort of like getting food, you know, and then having a good time around that.
It's a wild song.
It's a wild song.
Let's hear it.
Ramasser des écrans pour yaya, pour pain du pain bébé, pour oui des écrans yaya, mais dans l'année des coups d'applaudiment, ramasser des écrans pour yaya, pour pain du pain bébé, pour oui des dorodo.
The band Beau Soleil, and my guest is the founder of the group, who's its fiddler and vocalist, Michael Doucet. I really do love those shouts. Did you have to learn that, or did that just come?
I don't know. It comes natural, sort of. You hear it, and you just hear them in the right places. It just helps the songs, you know. It just helps because this is it's just a back porch music. It's not. I've never ever considered this music of the world, much less America, and it's just really surprised me on the possibilities. But I mean, this kind of music we play down home when we have a good time.
You're really wearing two hats musically in a way, because on the one hand, you're a folklorist and are trying to preserve certain traditions. Mm. On the other hand, I mean, you're really...
Para-folklorist.
Right. On the other hand, you've really opened up the music and has, yeah. you know, have invited in new musics to influence it, rock and rhythm and blues. Yeah. And
well, it's all, like you were talking about, it's all the music that's indigenous of Louisiana. We play some songs... sort of jazzy, or what people would call New Orleans music. Well, when they closed Storyville in 1917, a lot of the musicians didn't come up the river, Mississippi River, to St. Louis or Chicago or New York. Some of them moved to the bayous. Two such individuals, one was Bunk Johnson, who played with Buddy Bolden and even showed Louis Armstrong how to play. Another one was Hippolyte Charles, who played in the original Black Eagle Band. And because of that influence, a lot of fiddle players, accordion players, musicians, for that matter, had heard these people. So that sort of tradition, that style of music is incorporated into our music. And it's been sort of covered up for a while. And so we try to uncover them up and put them, give them life again in our music, you know.
Have you made any purists uncomfortable because you're not just preserving the music as it was?
Well, to those people, if they exist, I tell them, I'm not a clone. You know, I don't think that's living at all. I don't think that's encouraging. I mean, I like to hear an older song and say, learn it note for note. Yeah, that's how it should be. But then, hey, I'm here in 1987, and our music has survived all those years. The Acadian people, the culture, have taken a lot of names. Like I mentioned, Dennis McGee. It's not exactly a French name, but Dennis speaks, he only speaks French to me. And so how we've survived throughout our isolation and the language barrier, et cetera, is to take other styles, other music, other people who want to be incorporated and make it something new. So what we're doing is just being who we are. I mean, because I think I would go against the grain if I would try to be something else. And I can do this. I can play the music. I feel other kind of music, maybe a rock music or something, or different kind of playing of ballads. I mean, we're always been kind of, what are they doing now? Because we brought up the ballads. The ballads in Cajun music have been lost for years. So we started doing repertoires where we play ballads and bringing blues back again, bringing sort of jazzy songs or Tin Pan Alley songs back again. So to me, it's just, I mean, this is us. This is what we like to do, and that's what people down there like to dance to.
You mentioned the language barrier a couple of seconds ago. Did you grow up speaking French?
I was bilingual. I mean, my folks are obviously... Cajun, but there was both English and French at home. My grandmother, when she was still alive, was mainly French. But I can remember, you know, being born in 1951. I think 1958 or 1960 really was the turning point, because there in television, I remember seeing the first television. And before there, what people did have a good time was stay around playing. You could go visit people, and you would hear these stories in French. You would have a lot more French surrounding you after the television, et cetera. And we went to school in English. And after that, I think it really changed. Something really changed in Louisiana.
Was it acceptable to speak French in school? I've heard stories about how you weren't supposed to do that.
Yeah, well, in the 30s. And you know, I mean, you were punished for speaking French on the school ground. After that, in 1968, there was a council developed, which was called the Council for the Development of French in Louisiana, CODEFIL. They put the French back in the high schools, in the grammar schools, et cetera. But it was Parisian French, which you had a lot of problems with kids saying, où est le métro, to your grandmother, you know, and she was going to say, quoi, quoi tu veux dire, you know, and it was almost a bigger gap because, and then finally, with all the Renaissance going back again, that we have sort of a Cajunized French language, was because there's even a Cajun dictionary. There's a priest by the name of Father Daigle who's written a Cajun dictionary on it, and he maintains that the Acadian language is a derivative of Latin, which makes it a Romantic language, which is actually an American language, because not only do we use 17th century French, we use Indian words, African words, and American words within our language.
Is the language being passed on to younger generations?
Yes, it is, but there's no reason why. There's no reason why to continue like it was.
I mean, it becomes almost like an art form.
Exactly. Before everybody did business in this, I mean, you know, everybody you knew spoke French before they spoke English. So it was more readily used. It will continue in different forms, but it's not as, the necessity is gone.
In Louisiana, there are two slightly different styles of Cajun music. There's a white style and a black style.
Well, you're right. I mean, we can say yes, Cajun music is white and Zydeco is black, but that's a fallacy. And I'll give you a perfect example of that. 1929, Amadou Ardoin was a black accordion player, the first black accordion player to record. Who did he record with on fiddle? Dennis McGee. From that, then we see it, because at that time, and you know, about 80% of the music you hear now comes from this man. This man was a genius, and he was a myth. He was like Buddy Bolden. That was one of the guys I went out, hey, I have to find out everything I did. So finally, we re-released an album on the Arhuli label called Amadou Ardoin. One side with him, with Dennis McGee. The next side is just him playing accordion alone. It's incredible. He recorded in New York, New Orleans, San Antonio, all over the place. But from that style, being black, he sang. Oh, you'd love his singing. But from that style, okay, that was in 1929. In the 30s, something happened. There was a lot of country music influence. All of a sudden, the accordion was dropped in our music and it became more of a hybrid country and western. The black side of that chose a different style to play, an older style. You find the music, even in the Seychelles Islands, where the same thing happened, where there were French and islanders, that the music really closely resembles our own. And what happened that? Then you see the separatist movement happen. In the 50s, what came out was Ardoin's music being played by a white blind accordion player, Ira Lejeune. That was a resurgence of Cajun music. On the other side, you have Clifton Chenier not only playing a diatonic accordion, but playing a piano accordion, so you can play more blues, and that is the term zydeco. So you can look at it one end, but there's, you know, zydeco groups that obviously play French songs, Cajun songs, and they're like our group. We try to play the whole spectrum. I love zydeco music.
So not as simple as that simplistic statement
no,
I just made.
But I mean, just okay. You could say that.
We're a little short on time. You know what I'm wondering? It seems that Creole food and Cajun music has become a little trendy.
Oh, really?
Right? is this helping you or hurting you? Do you think it's good for your culture or bad?
Well, I always say, I'm not going to say it on the air, but I said, you know, the black and red fish. My wife was the first one to come up with that. She had black and toast in the morning. But no, I think it's helped us a whole lot. Paul Prudhomme and everybody has really focused in on the food. And if it's done correctly, it's good. You don't have to put a lot of seasoning on it. It's just you have to put a lot of love in it. And we have so much to work with in Louisiana. I mean, all the fresh vegetables and the seafood and the fowl and everything like that. So, and with then the music, I mean, you can only eat gumbo with Cajun music. I mean, let's be honest, you know, it always tastes better like that. So it has helped us a whole lot.
But is this commercialization from your culture, the marketing of French Louisiana?
Well, there are people.
Louisiana,
well, now, yeah, of course it is. And there's, I mean, up to 7 years ago, there was no such thing as a Cajun restaurant. Now there are Cajun restaurants. And now it's become a formula for groups to come. And that's where we kind of sort of paved the way and says, you don't need to do this. You be who you are and it'll work out.
Well, Michael Dussay, I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
Much.
It's really been fun. Thanks for being here. I've been speaking with musician Michael Dussay. He's a folklorist and a performer of Cajun music from French Louisiana. His group, Beau Soleil, has a new album. It's called Bayou Boogie. It's on the Rounder record label. He's in Philadelphia to perform at a festival of New Orleans music. This is Fresh Air.